Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer and my friend, Jake Nichols. It is Friday today. We are catching you guys later on in the week here, but Friday means Tennessee football eve, and I know that I can speak for Jake in saying we are both looking forward to Tennessee Ole Miss tomorrow night in a sold-out checkered kneeling under the lights. And obviously, everybody, Tennessee Ole Miss has a lot of storylines for this weekend, the biggest one being Lane Kiffin's return as an opposing head coach for the first time since he left in 2010 to go coach at USC. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of that game, Jake and I are going to do a quick recap of Tennessee, South Carolina, and make sure everyone is caught up on the Vols' 45-20 win over the Gamecocks. So, Jake, happy Friday, and how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing well. Like you said, just excited for this weekend. I really hope the game lives up to the atmosphere that we're expecting.
Absolutely. I know you had a good night a couple nights ago when Freddie Freeman single-handedly beat the Brewers in the eighth inning. But what did you think of Dodgers-Giants last night?
Dude, it was a phenomenal game. But how do you end a game that good on a checked swing that – how do you end the game on a strike three call on a check swing that it shouldn't have been called, first of all, because he checked in plenty of time. And I think that, you know, in those situations, I could go on a full rant about this, but in those situations, you know, if it's close, the batter usually looks back at the umpire, right?
Right.
But in that case, he didn't even look back at the ump. He just pulled his bat back and was getting set, and then boom, strike three, you're out, ball game. And you hate for a game that's that good and that for something that should be decided on the field to end in that way. But anyway, Braves Dodgers in LCS. Time to see if the boys can get some revenge. So yeah.
As a Braves fan, are you kind of like happy that the Dodgers won so you can get that revenge, or did you want the Giants?
In a way, yes, as far as like storylines are concerned and as far as the potential for clinching over a team that, you know, obviously kind of spoiled the moment last year. But as far as actual matchups, I wish it was San Francisco. But anyway.
I gotcha. Well, I'm not like a Braves fan like you are, but I definitely think it'd be cool to see them go to the World Series, so maybe they can dodge any bullets the Dodgers throw at them.
Oh, that. You were on the pun game this morning, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what no one should ever dodge, Jake, and that's Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. Because people, if you're looking to book travel at any time during the year but don't want to do all the work, just be sure and contact our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company so that they can do the work for you. If you book with them, they'll throw in a $50 Visa gift card. I mean, 50 free bucks. What is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now at 678-983-2172 or visit their website, backer.dreamvacations.com, to find that dream vacation you need. That number again is 678-983-2172. All right, Jake. Tennessee, South Carolina, 45-20. 28 in the first quarter by Tennessee. Second straight week they did that, as they did it against Mizzou as well. Hendon Hooker, 10 of 13, 464 yards and three scores in that first quarter. Finishing line for number five was 17 of 23 for 225 in those three scores, tying his season high in passing yards, which was set against Mizzou actually. And Hendo Cinco also added 66 yards and 20 totes first score against South Carolina. So let's start with what you thought of Hooker's performance and what area you've seen him grow in the past few weeks.
I think that the biggest area I've seen him grow is just the poise and lack of turnovers. You know, you've seen his comfort in the pocket and out of the pocket as well, just growing in Tennessee's offense. That ease with which he plays is on display, I think, and the ease with which he's making decisions in this offense and growing as a leader. But also, you know, like I said, the lack of turnovers, just the fact that when he got started, you know, he put the ball on the ground a few times against Pitt and in his first couple outings. And now he has had only, I think, one interception going back in the last few games and has just done a stellar job of keeping the ball under control and of just, you know, like you said, just maintaining control and not giving up useless mistakes.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but I don't think he's thrown an interception since Pitt, because he had the fumble in the Florida game, and I think he has been flawless with Tennessee Tech and then the two SEC games with Mizzou and South Carolina. But yeah, really great stuff from Hooker there. And, you know, we saw him, you know, use his legs really well against South Carolina as well. What do you think of Tennessee's running game with Tylan Evans? Another big day for him, over 100 yards before he went down. So just this running game keeps clicking. Do you expect it to go forward?
Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, that the running back depth may be a little bit of a concern, that, you know, they're still working a little more with D Beckwith, which is why we haven't seen him. But as far as Jabari Small and Tyon, I expect them both to be back at least. I think that, you know, Josh Heupel noted earlier this week that that they would have everyone back, obviously, with the exception of Juwan Mitchell, who's out with season-ending shoulder surgery. If I can test that out. But but then, you know, whenever he was asked about Heupel yesterday, he said that it would kind of be a Friday decision. And obviously, we don't talk to him any more than that before games. But apparently, Tyon Evans confirmed to a few people that he would be playing. And that is, you know, that's not based off of anything that Tennessee has said. That is just based off of, you know, stuff that I've seen on Twitter. There was a report from WBIR that came out that said Tyon would not be playing, according to a source that they have. So I think it's a little bit up in the air right now, but I think that, that going off, you know, just honestly, just a hunch that, you know, based on the fact that Heupel said that they'd have everybody back and then kind of contradicted himself a little bit, I feel like they're going to have him back, and, you know, what a boost that would be. But, you know, like you said, he was fantastic against South Carolina. I think you could really see the power that he offers and that breakaway speed on that 45-yard run. I mean, you know, no one was close whenever he crossed the goal line. And obviously, if he's able to go this week, you hope that he can have that same kind of effort against the Rebels.
Yeah, and you know, in the offseason, you always talk about, oh, who's going to be the breakout player? Who's going to be the surprise? It's Tyon Evans, hands down. I mean, you could say Hendon Hooker, but, like, he's an experienced quarterback. You know, he's doing what he needed to do. But as far as Tyon Evans goes, this is, you know, a pleasant surprise for this Tennessee offense.
Absolutely. But, you know, you also can't say enough about Hooker. you know, he talked, I think, after the South Carolina game about his growth since Virginia Tech, or maybe, I can't remember if it was the week before, or anyway, but the quarterback that we saw in Blacksburg, in Hendon Hooker, is not the same one that is here at Tennessee. Josh Heupel has, I think, done a great job in working with him, in working on some things that he said that limit turnovers, you know, working on ball mechanics, working on where you put the football, where your eyes are, where your feet are located. And I think that he's done a great job in kind of refining some of those things in Hooker's mechanics and just how he works, that you've seen a much sharper quarterback here at Tennessee. And you've seen a guy that, like I said, is comfortable and that is obviously very loose. You know, Javonte Payton the other day mentioned how Hooker is really goofy in the locker room, and you know, how you don't really see that side of him a lot on the field, obviously, because he's calm and focused. But I think that says a lot about a guy whenever you transfer and come into a new place and you warm up to your teammates and you're able to dance in the locker room and have rap battles, which Jalin Hyatt wins, apparently, by the way. And, you know, to be able to have those moments, I think that it says a lot about the chemistry of this team, but also about how Hooker has grown as a leader and has taken advantage of these opportunities.
Yeah, and, you know, some Hendon Hooker stats for you. He is top five in the nation for quarterback rating, you know, efficiency rating. And he's number one in the SEC right now, just ahead of Matt Corral. So, you know, really great stuff. Really great stuff everyone has seen from Hooker since he took over. And Jake, kind of expanding more so on this passing game, you know, we saw Velus and Payton continue to kill it out wide, especially Payton with the deep balls. they've exploited the heck out of Mizzou and South Carolina, you know, to put it frankly. Do you expect this to continue against harder opponents down the road?
I think so, and I think that you're going to see them try to put that to the test against Ole Miss, just seeing what they've gotten out of those senior receivers. The production from Velus Tillman and Javonte Payton has all been great, you know, especially after they've started hitting passes on target. And now that they've gotten into a groove with that, it's really refreshing and fun to see with how wide open these guys are, because you've seen Josh Heupel put receivers into open spaces plenty of times early this season, and that's continued. And so now to see those passes connecting and to see those guys coming through, especially those seniors, because, you know, we thought earlier this year, maybe if Tennessee gets any help in the receiving corps, it's going to be out of a few young guys, maybe your Jimmy Callaways, maybe your Walker Merrills, maybe, you know, Jimmy Holiday. But in what we've seen out of those three guys, in Velus, Tillman, and Javonte, you know, Cody Burns talked about it earlier this week and just kind of how it speaks to the confidence that this coaching staff has instilled in those guys, that, you know, Velus has been a playmaker and he's been fantastic with the ball in his hands, but Cedric Tillman got very few touches before this year, that, you know, he wasn't used a lot despite that size that he offers and despite his ability down the field. You know, we've seen big catches from him in preseason practice, and we've seen them in games now that they're connecting. And then Javonte Payton, you know, he started three games for Mississippi State last year, and he has been an immediate factor here at Tennessee. And, you know, Burns talked about that as well. I asked him, you know, what did you see about Javonte that kind of made him jump off the page and made you want to recruit him to Tennessee? And he said his twitchiness and just that ability that he has off the line and that athleticism that they thought went underused in Starkville and that they've obviously put to good use here. And yeah. So I think that it really speaks to, like I said, to both the players and the staff and how they complement each other and how those three guys have worked so far.
Yeah. And then speaking of transfers, let's move on to the Tennessee defense here with Brandon Turnage, the Alabama transfer DB, 14 tackles, led the team, also had two tackles for loss within that 14. So Theo Jackson couldn't give it a go on Saturday. Brandon Turner stepped up in that star position, delivered a great performance for this Tennessee defense, really vital to that group on Saturday. Just what kind of volumes does this speak to the depth the Tennessee defense has?
I think it speaks immensely about the depth that they have because, you know, going back, we knew Brandon Turnage had played at Alabama and had, you know, not been able to get a lot of time there. But I think that after his showing on Saturday, it speaks so much to what Tennessee can offer, even, like you said, beyond its starters and just how dangerous this secondary can be. And I think that should bring a lot of comfort down the road, especially this week with the way that Ole Miss pushes the ball down the field and the way that Corral can spread you out. I think that having that much versatility on the defensive side has to really be a comfort for Tim Banks and for Willie Martinez in the back end, but also having that leadership. You know, you've got guys like Alante Taylor who have been vocal leaders for this team, but also Theo Jackson, who from what I've seen, you know, has been a vocal leader, but more than anything has stepped up in action. Whenever he knew that he wasn't going to play against South Carolina, Brian Jean Marie told us that Theo worked with Brandon all week, stayed in the film room with him, stayed, you know, in the playbook with him, and kept him apprised of everything that he needed to know to take over in that starting spot, and worked with him all week to get him ready. And so obviously Brandon Turnage balled out, but part of that is due to the preparation that Theo Jackson worked with him on and helped him to get ready for that. And so I think that that speaks again to, you know, not just the depth, but the leadership on this team and to the chemistry that they've developed, that you've got guys working with, you know, people that are behind them on the depth chart that, you know, maybe normally there'd be more of a competition there in terms of worrying about somebody taking your spot. But Theo was happy to help Brandon get ready for that start. And obviously, Brandon had a great day as a result.
Yeah, and another guy who had a great day for Tennessee secondary is Jalen McCullough. He had his third interception on the season against South Carolina, making that one in the Tech game, Mizzou and South Carolina. So got to like what you're seeing from this Tennessee secondary as we go forward in the season. One more thing I want to talk about with Tennessee here before we move on to the Ole Miss game is just Jawan Mitchell, as you mentioned, being out for the season with the shoulder injury, having surgery. So, Jake, you know, we hadn't seen much from Mitchell this season. He was, you know, the most highly touted transfer Tennessee had coming into the season. But Jeremy Banks and Aaron Beasley have really been, you know, the guys at the linebacker position for Tennessee this year. So scale of 1 to 10, how big of a blow to the defense is the Mitchell loss right now? And then scale of 1 to 10, how big of a blow is it for the potential of what this defense could have been?
I think as far as the blow right now, I would rate it about a 5, I think, about halfway, just because, you know, like you said, he hasn't really been as much of a factor as you thought he would be. But then again, that's also maybe due to the fact that he's been hurt. But as far as depth, that does create a little bit of an issue. They've still got to work through, you know, finding that fourth backer outside of Jeremy Banks, Aaron Beasley, and Solon Page. You know, they're still trying to work, I think, with Aaron Willis and William Mohan and Garland to try to see who that next guy is, or to try to determine that fourth linebacker spot. And they said it's still a little bit up in the air right now. You know, they haven't seen enough separation, but as far as right now, I would say about a 5 in terms of loss, given that I think Mitchell was banged up for a while.
Yeah.
But in terms of what this defense could have been, I think it's a 10, just because, you know, if he hadn't been hurt or hadn't, you know, undergone that injury or whatever happened there, or whenever it happened, that, you know, you think about the effect that he could have had on this defense. He was Texas' leading tackler last season and could have obviously clinched one of those top two spots at LB, and, you know, maybe giving this defense another spark.
Absolutely, my man. Yeah, it's definitely a tough loss, like you said, for what this could have been, but they will have to go without number 10 for the rest of the year. All right, Jake, so Tennessee, Ole Miss, let's get to the fun part. You know, we got a sold-out Neyland, a checkered Neyland at that. It's going to be an insane environment with Lane Kiffin returning to Knoxville. But let's get to, you know, just basics with the game here. Obviously, Matt Corral, a Heisman candidate right now. The Ole Miss offense is clicking just as much as the Tennessee offense is clicking. But Ole Miss has had some defensive troubles. So let's start with the Tennessee offense and how it can exploit that Rebel defense. What do you think is the position group that will have the most success on Saturday?
I think right now you are looking at Tennessee's wide receiver core. I think that Ole Miss's defensive line is quietly pretty good, but I think that their secondary has struggled, and I think you need to exploit that quickly and move the ball down the field and push it as much as possible, especially just given what we've seen from Corral and Ole Miss. They're going to try to do the same thing against Tennessee, and, you know, to be able to keep up that pace and to be able to, frankly, you know, hang with this Ole Miss team, which I think the Vols are certainly capable of doing. They've shown that in the way they move the ball and in their pace on offense. But like I said, I think that, you know, you need to get that passing game going early and make sure that if this is going to be a shootout, that you're going to do your part.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Ole Miss defense is currently ranked 100th in total defensive ranking in college football right now, allowing 430 yards per game. So, you know, it's going to be a shootout, but how many, let's see. So you're talking about the passing game. How many yards do you think the Tennessee passing game is capable of putting up against the Rebels on Saturday?
I would say they're capable of putting up at least 400, if not more.
Wow, 400 passing yards?
I know I'm going to scale that back. I think 350. Okay. But yeah, I think still pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's still a running team, you know. And if Tyon's healthy, it's not like the Ole Miss run defense is you know, their strong suit, it's still suspect. So I think if, you know, the offensive line delivers at a good level, that Tyon will have another explosive day. We could see him, you know, go off like he did against Mizzou even. But yeah, it's going to be a shootout. So let's talk about the Tennessee defense a little bit. Matt Corral has just been, you know, slicing and dicing this season, to be honest. And this is probably the best offense Tennessee has faced this season. I do believe that the Ole Miss offense is better than the Florida offense. What are the keys to slowing down Matt Corral?
I think it's exactly what Jack Heifel said earlier this week, that you've got to keep contained. You've got to stay vertical, you know, stay in your assignments and just play assignment football and not get too panicky whenever he gets out of the pocket. You know, he's a guy that can move around and hurt you really well. And I think that, that it's going to be a big test for whether this Tennessee defense is for real.
Yeah, absolutely. And what if Tennessee holds Ole Miss under 30 points, do you think that they're for real?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's a good, mark for, you know, measuring kind of the validity of this defense, because they've been, I think, a lot better than we've expected so far, but now obviously you've got a much tougher test.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jake, I got another scale for you here. You know, I talked about the environment earlier with the sold out Checker Neal, and it's going to be loud under the lights. On a scale of 1 to 10, how loud does the Tennessee crowd need to be to affect this Ole Miss offense?
10. Without a doubt.
I set you up just to say.
They need to be as loud as possible, and that's not even just to affect the Ole Miss offense. That's just to create an environment to remember. You know, people are talking already about what they expect out of this game. I'm expecting it to be maybe, I think, as loud as the 2015 Oklahoma game. It should be, in my opinion, given the hype surrounding this game and given everything we've seen, you know. I don't necessarily expect another Admiral Schofield hype video to come out of this, but I expect the same volume of noise.
Right. Yeah, I got you. And the September 30th, 2017 ring a bell for you?
Oh, gosh. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's the last time Neyland was checkered. Tennessee, Georgia, smoky gray uniforms under Butch Jones. 41-0, Bulldogs won. So, yeah. You know, Tennessee has a lot to prove with the environment going on, with what they're doing, you know, choosing to check or kneel. And it wasn't done under Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt. So, you know, Danny White's in favor of the tradition. So I feel like that's going to light a fire under this Tennessee team. And we could really see a special game, Jake. Like, I know Ole Miss has been better than Tennessee so far this season, but the amount of hype, the amount of momentum Tennessee has coming into this game, I think the 2.5 line, underdog line for Tennessee is right on the mark, because if you told me that was going to be the line 3 weeks ago when they just lost to Florida, or, you know, just looked suspect against Pitt or Bowling Green at the beginning of the season, I'd have said you're crazy. But I think it's accurate for the time being.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, going off what you said just about the environment, you know, I think that, like you said, this could be really special, but you know, the level of excitement around Knoxville right now is through the roof, and for good reason. You know, this is the most anticipated game that Tennessee has had in a long time. And man, how good is it to think about this kind of atmosphere after last year?
Absolutely, my man. And let's finish out the pod here with some over-unders. So Ole Miss over under three. You said Tennessee needs 350. Over under Ole Miss 350 passing yards.
I'm going to go over on that one.
Okay, so let's do Ole Miss 100 rushing yards.
I'm going to go over on that as well.
Okay, so you're expecting a big Ole Miss offensive day. Let's go final score prediction. Just curious.
This one, right now, I'm still honestly leaning a little Ole Miss. I think that Tennessee is going to have a great day offensively, but in the end, I think Matt Corral is a little bit too much. I'm going to go 45-38 Ole Miss.
Okay, so still a tight one, you know, still a touchdown game. Got him covering. and 45-38. Let's see. I'm bad at math, but that's 83. Dude, that's right on the that's right on the over under for the game at 83.
There you go.
Wow. You didn't even know that. You just nailed it. That's funny. Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about with Tennessee Ole Miss before we hop off here, Jake?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, no matter my score prediction or anyone else's, just for fans to pack the stadium and, you know, like I said, make this an environment to remember, because the level of hype right now is so through the roof that you can only hope that the atmosphere and that the game actually live up to it.
Absolutely, my man. As a first year sports journalist, it could be one of the best nights of my life. I know I'm talking selfish here, but like, it's going to be amazing. But everybody, be sure and follow Jake at jnichols_2121 for live updates of the hyped up Tennessee Ole Miss. You can also give VR2 on SI a follow at VR2 on SI on all platforms. You can also give your host a follow while you're at it at Jack Foster TV. Everybody, thank you so much for listening and allowing Jake and I to do what we love week in and week out, whether that's on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. For Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster. We will talk to all of you wonderful people next week with a recap and preview pod.